Airwick Essential Mist Diffuser transforms your space, creating your perfect ambiance with a wide range of inviting fragrances that make your guests go, oh. Airwick Essential Mist Diffuser's easy-to-change refills allow you to choose your perfect fragrance for any occasion, like lush honeysuckle and raspberry, and vibrant island coconut and warm sands. And if guests start shifting from the table to the couches, no worries. It's perfectly portable and cordless. Airwick Essential Mist Diffuser, always inviting.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
But first, Donald Trump has completed his first 100 days back in the White House, a traditional marker for American presidents at the start of their terms. And according to Gallup, he's the only post-World War II president to have less than 50% approval rating at the 100-day marker. Now, later in the show, we'll have a detailed look at Trump's rhetoric and his actions from his first months back in the White House. But first this morning, is Donald Trump keeping Republican support? And does any of the rhetoric that we may be outraged about actually matter to them? Joining me to talk about this is Albert Eisenberg, Republican political consultant and commentator who runs the messaging firm Blue State Red. Albert, good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on, Pat.
Now, first of all, I must ask you for your reaction to the current polling about President Trump, and he appears to be the least popular president in the polling of 100-day incumbency in some 70 years. What do you make of that?
Well, I think that there is a whirlwind of activity from Washington. I think that President Trump and Republicans inherited enormous problems, and a lot of the American public understands that. And I think the getting out of significant problems, like having an open border where 10 to 20 million people came over the last 4 years, decoupling our economy from China, reducing the size and scope of the federal government, which is going to bankrupt us. These are really tough problems that are going to cause issues. And the president's administration, I think, is tackling them. We have a long way to go before the midterm elections in 2026, which is American congressional elections. It's going to be the real litmus test. And we have plenty of room to make up ground. But I believe that the Republican Party needs to do a better job of selling what we're doing to the American public, because I think the thrust of what is going on and the problems that we're tackling are all significant, important problems that rank high in American voters' minds. And I think we can do a better job of selling it.
Okay. Now, do you think the Republicans, and particularly the president, are their own worst enemies? I mean, the president promised he'll end the Ukraine war in 24 hours. 100 days in, it hasn't happened. Do you know what I mean? Making promises that are unfulfilled and unfulfillable, really, and his voters presumably believed all of that hype.
Well, okay, so one of the best things I learned and heard, one of the best phrases from the 2016 shock election, Trump's first victory, was that Trump supporters take him seriously but not literally. And media people and elite liberals take him literally but not seriously. So nobody on the Republican side really thought he meant that he was going to literally end the Ukraine war in 24 hours. But what he signaled is that there's going to be a serious pivot from sending blank checks over to Ukraine and understanding that the power dynamic is in our hands because we've been the ones funding the war. It's not like people in Europe have been funding the war or frankly sending their troops over to defend NATO. So as far as promises made, promises kept is sort of the operative phrase in America. We need to make sure that inflation goes down for voters, that the border is secure, which it actually is historically secure right now, that we actually bring back and reshore vital manufacturing to the country and other top issues for voters.
Now, when it comes to tariffs, I mean, one of the problems with Donald Trump's tariff announcements on so-called Liberation Day was the flip-flopping of it. You know, when he observed that the U.S. bonds, people were fleeing from U.S. bonds, which would be maybe the death knell of the dollar were it to continue, he immediately did a U-turn.
Yeah, so I think that the consensus on the Republican side is that this was a useful mechanism for bringing trade partners like Vietnam and Malaysia and Japan to the table, where we have actually begun to ink much more fair deals that are going to improve the American economy and bring back vital manufacturing, which is going to be good for everyone in the West, by the way. The thing that listeners need to understand is everyone's economy right now is coupled from the stem and root coupled with China's. And China is in everyone's IT, China's in everyone's data. And that's really not good because it's an authoritarian, totalitarian regime that has aims to expand first to Taiwan and then more regionally. So decoupling our economies from China, which has been something that's been happening in the last 40 or 50 years and really accelerated since the 1990s, is going to be really painful. And Europe's going to have to decide as well which side they're going to take. But I think the days of kicking the can down the road and saying, okay, we're fine with them diving into our IT and our vital infrastructure and stealing all of our data and shutting our companies out of their market and stealing all of our IP is gone. And I think that's a good thing. So as far as the tariff flip-flopping, I think that that was probably a little bit too chaotic, Pat. I'm not going to defend all of the ways that things are gone about. But the fact is he's addressing the deepest problems in the American economy and the world. And I'm happy about that.
Now, the question of what kind of economy America wants. I mean, the idea that every MAGA hat or every shirt or every skirt is going to be made now, from now on in the United States. You may have seen those memes on the internet which were put out on TikTok by Chinese people suggesting, you know, showing large fingered Americans trying to do, you know, put buttons on shirts. I mean, that's not the kind of economy, for example, that most Western European countries want. They want a high tech, high value economy. They don't want to go back to the days of sweatshops making shirts. Now, what does America want?
Well, I think people want to work for a good wage and have options. And I think that there's a lot of high-tech manufacturing that would be here in America if we had better trade deals and we weren't shut out of European markets, for example, with our autos. You know, you don't see American cars driving down the Autobahn, but you see German cars driving down Connecticut Avenue in Washington, D.C.
You do see Teslas, by the way. Which happened, I think the European Teslas are manufactured in China, but that's by the by.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. There's parts that are manufactured in different places, but when we reshuffle or rescale the way that the trade deals are done, it'll be fairer for everybody. It doesn't mean that every single thing needs to be made in America. We're not putting our walls up like that. It just means that we have a totalitarian regime that has a billion plus people and, you know, really is trying to be king of the hill and just sitting around and twiddling our thumbs and thinking, oh, I like this because we have nice T-shirts that are made and they're cheap, really isn't a solution long term. And I think our chickens are going to come home to roost, and not just in America.
But, you know, it's not as if China is putting the gun to Americans' heads saying, buy our T-shirts, buy our televisions. I mean, Americans, and particularly your big stores, Target and Walmart, they want the cheapest products they can put on the market to American consumers. So the demand is coming from America to buy from China, not China, as I say, putting the gun to the head of Americans, buy our stuff.
No, they're not putting guns to heads to Americans yet on consumer goods, but they are going to probably be active in expanding their territory and probably going to kill a lot of people. And they're also blackmailing a lot of our officials, and they are in all of our vital infrastructure, and they're definitely in Irish infrastructure, and they have spies in your country as well. Consumers all over the world want the best quality stuff for the cheapest, which is, you know, Europeans are constantly in awe of the size of Americans' houses and what you can get at Costco and Walmart. And there's more. There's a sense of jealousy there too. So I think people all over the world want, you know, better quality of life for cheaper. And the way that we've done it in America, which is we've exported a lot of our manufacturing to China over the last decades, and that's enriched people who are the haves, and it's impoverished the people who are the have-nots. And I think the rebalancing is okay. I personally am willing to pay a little bit more for goods that are made in America or by our allies closer by. And I don't think I'm alone there.
Do you understand how Europeans might be dismayed at the idea that there is a trade surplus for the United States when you take into account the sale of services to Europe? It's not just stuff that you make. It's also the financial services, which have huge value and in which, combined with trade of goods America is in massive surplus with Europe. And Europeans are saying, hang on a second, what Donald Trump is saying, it's all about making widgets or car parts, but there's so much more to trade than this.
Yeah, I think that there is something to be said for, you know, there's more to trade. I mean, there's more to the trade than the dollar.
Airwick Essential Mist Diffuser transforms your space, creating your perfect ambiance with a wide range of inviting fragrances that make your guests go, oh. Airwick Essential Mist Diffuser's easy-to-change refills allow you to choose your perfect fragrance for any occasion, like lush honeysuckle and raspberry, and vibrant island coconut and warm sands. And if guests start shifting from the table to the couches, no worries. It's perfectly portable and cordless. Airwick Essential Mist Diffuser, always inviting.
Value, frankly. There's also just, you know, relationships and learning and building things together that can't really be measured, to be honest. But, you know, services aren't what's fueling the American manufacturing. Like, that's not necessarily the GOP base at this point. And there's a lot of working people in America that have seen their prospects pretty much eviscerated. The people that are able to give services have done very well in the last 20 to 30 years in America. And I think the idea is that we're rebalancing and bringing home vital manufacturing. And frankly, if, you know, things go south and things, you know, we saw during COVID where an unexpected event happened and we had to completely pivot, you know, services aren't necessarily going to be what keeps us afloat and keeps us safe.
I mean, I can understand the strategic value of making sure that certain things are available readily within your own country in the event of an emergency. But for the last couple of decades, I mean, free trade has been the global methodology, and it seems to have raised a lot of boats.
Yes, you're exactly right. I think that the consensus has been that free trade is always good, and that the boats that are being raised, which are mostly, you know, people who are on the upper end of things already and now are getting cheaper goods, that's a good thing. And those people have more clout because they have more money. But it has really, really depleted America's manufacturing backbone and people's prospects, where you used to be able to have, you know, a factory job and support a family with that. And now there really aren't as many jobs, and we don't have the vital manufacturing. And you saw that China turned around several cargo ships during COVID with PPE that were bound for America. And that's just the beginning. So, you know, that should have been a wake up call for everyone. And free trade is great. I'm for it. I'm for fair trade as well. And when you see that the deck has been stacked against American companies, I think that there's a lot of truth to that. I'm not a trade expert, just between you and me. That's not my area of expertise. I'm a political analyst, but I'm amenable to Trump's point and his cabinet's point that the deck's been stacked against American companies, and I'm looking forward to it being reshuffled.
Have you any concerns about Trump effectively thumbing his nose at the courts, you know, criticizing judges for their decisions? We've had J.D. Vance suggesting that judges are not put there to judge us. What else do they do? That's their job, I would have thought. But that was his line. In other words, he suggested that only elected officials have the power to make, I suppose, a judgment on any behavior. And that obviously is not the case.
Yeah. You know, in America, we have a constitutional system, and this was, you know, envisioned by our founding fathers. What was not envisioned is that, you know, in a country of 330 million people, that one federal judge could put the kibosh on any policy at any point if it's brought in the right way. And what the left has done actively since the Obama term and before is create lawfare against conservative policies with activist judges. So they file suits in very liberal circuit judicial areas, and then they basically stop any federal policy with just one activist judge, including, by the way, somebody who let out a prisoner who was here illegally and actually, like, went and sprung that person loose in Wisconsin, which is actually illegal. So, I mean, I think that there's a lot of frustration for good reason of the activist judges, and they need to be absolutely reformed, because people voted for, you know, a sane immigration system. And if you just, they've gone absolutely berserk.
However, that particular judge you talk about in Wisconsin what happened was she allowed the guy out by a different exit into the public domain where he was arrested by the FBI. And in fact, an interpretation of custom and practice and the law would suggest that the FBI agents in her courtroom were probably in contempt.
I'm not sure that there's absolutely no reason why this woman should have let a criminal illegal alien out herself, and she should go to jail. And she broke the law. It's an insane activist judicial statement. And it's a really a great symbol for the activist judge class that has prevented any real reform to America's endemic issues. And basically the de facto opinion of the Democrats and seemingly a lot of elite opinion makers, including in Western Europe, is that it's fine that we let 20 million people into our country illegally who we can't track, some of whom are gang members, some of whom are traffickers, and you're not allowed you're not allowed to send any of them home. That's a de facto opinion. And that's why the left and the Democrats lost so resoundingly in November.
Did not the Supreme Court just say, look, everyone, no matter who they are, MS-13 or whoever they might be, they have to have their day in court? That's the American way. That is the American way.
I don't know that everyone needs a day in court, but yes, there needs to be due process for everyone. And that's basically one of America's best exports. Speaking of trade, has been democracy and due process and saving Western democracy in Europe after World War II, for example, fighting totalitarianism with the Soviet Union is a proud American tradition. I think we're going to stick to those things. There's been a dangerous corrosion of norms over the last 20 or 30 years. And you know, as a partisan political commentator, I can point to the left doing it as well. And I find it, but that's really not my point. I think
now you talk about, you know, defending democracy against the might of the Soviet Union, the Cold War, and then Reagan, of course, helping to bring about the coming down of the wall and the breakup of the Soviet Union. But now we have Donald Trump, who appears to be parroting the messaging of Putin. How does that sit with the Republican base, or do they care?
I think the move, from what I understand, with Putin is to try and bring him away from China's orbit. And that, to me, is an interesting and probably important thing to do, considering it's a China-Iran-Russia axis of evil right now that's aiming to take down Western democracy and take over. As far as Trump's overtures to Putin, I don't think there's anything wrong with sitting down with the guy. I think most Republicans agree with that. I think healthy debate on the issue is important. Obviously, I think most people, you know, Republicans and Americans in general, believe Ukraine was the victim here and has been bullied by Russia, to put it lightly. The question of whether we want to increase our federal deficit to sustain Ukraine when they have Western European countries right next door who aren't spending enough on their own defense is an interesting, important topic to debate on the Republican side. And I would just say, you know, Germany is importing Russian oil and is dependent on it. So, you know, there's a lot of people that think that America's being mean and Trump's so mean. But the fact is, it's Germany and it's Western Europe that needs to stand up and defend themselves more so, because this is in your backyard.
Yeah. Then now the question of when Trump mused on Air Force One on the way back from the Vatican, that maybe Putin is tapping me along. I mean, that's a suspicion that has been shared by most Western governments, that really, Vladimir Putin is playing chess while Donald Trump is playing checkers.
I'm not sure, because nobody, I mean, part of the unexpectedness about Trump and part of his success in his first term is creating stronger deals and bringing people to the table. I mean, the Abraham Accords in the Middle East, certainly a huge success, bringing Israel, a vital Western ally, closer to the Gulf and Sunni partners. So I don't know. It's 100 days in. You're right that he didn't solve it in one day. I don't think anybody thought he did, including himself. I think Western Europe needs to spend more on its own defense, and having the Trump administration and Vance echoing that is really important. And if you're really serious about fighting Putin, you need to figure out ways to become more energy independent from Russia.
Finally, I should ask you about the popular vote. Trump uniquely won it for the Republicans. He won the popular vote. But Biden got so many more votes than he did in the previous election. And I'm wondering, was it a case not that the Republicans won, but that the Democrats didn't show?
Oh, people showed. It was It was just, you know, it was a very well attended election. The Democrats lost for sure. I mean, it was a stinging indictment of the years under Biden and Harris with the open border and the inflationary policies that really degraded people's purchasing power.
I'm looking at the pure numbers. Joe Biden got 81.29 million to win his election, and Trump got 76.34. So,
yes, there was definitely there was a huge amount of mail-in votes in 2020 during the peak of COVID. But you're right that some of the depressed turnout would have been on the Democratic side. But a lot of Democrats have shifted Republican as well. In the last 4 years, a lot of working class Democrats voted Republican for the first time because they were so appalled at the elite, feckless policies of the Biden administration. So I would agree partially with your point. I think Democrats lost. And I also think Trump ran a disciplined campaign and did well, including among diverse voter demographics that don't normally vote Republican.
Do you think, though, in the wake of the polling that we see now where Trump is underwater in so many sectors, that Republicans will be quite apprehensive about November of next year?
I think that we need to do a better job selling what we're doing to the American people. And the good news is, I think what we're doing in large part is correct. We're approaching some of the biggest problems that have been left to fester, not just by the last administration, which was one of the worst in American history, but in the last 40 to 50 years by people on both sides of the aisle. So my hope and my work is going to be working to sell what we're doing and make sure that regular working people understand that we're fighting for them.
Albert Eisenberg, Republican political consultant and commentator who runs the messaging firm Blue State Red. Albert, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
News Talk's Cash Machine.
This week, the machine contains the largest cash prize ever on Irish radio, and it will be given to a guaranteed winner on Friday. More than €250,000 up for grabs. It's €251,000 to be exact. That could transform your life. If you fancy that, to enter text play to 57557 before 3 on Friday, then just after 3 randomly, we'll make a call. If it's to your phone, you must answer within 5 rings, then you tell us the total, and then you get all the money. If you don't answer, we keep calling until we find a winner. The cost is €2.50 plus your standard message rate, over 18s only. You're playing across the Go Loud network of stations. Full terms on newstalk.com. But remember Friday's fantastic total, €251,000, and it's tax-free. Text play to 57557. Now, lots of comments coming in. I'll bring most of them to you later. This one just popped up. Such a hypocrite. This is Albert. The Republicans were happy to use activist judges when they want to go after abortion rights for women, and lots more along those lines. Coming up,
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Airwick Essential Mist Diffuser transforms your space, creating your perfect ambiance with a wide range of inviting fragrances that make your guests go, oh. Airwick Essential Mist Diffuser's easy-to-change refills allow you to choose your perfect fragrance for any occasion, like lush honeysuckle and raspberry, and vibrant island coconut and warm sands. And if guests start shifting from the table to the couches, no worries. It's perfectly portable and cordless. Airwick Essential Mist Diffuser, always inviting.